Sounds great. I'm honored to be here today. Today I want to talk to you guys about using a marine plant extract. That's a nice way to say seaweed, because weed sounds kind of ratty, so I wasn't going to say that. So it's a seaweed. It's called Ascophyllum nodosum. The common name would be brown rockweed. And we're using that to mitigate stress and reduce boll abortion in cotton. So before I get started, really, I want to talk about what plants do when things get hot or when they run out of water. The first thing that they're going to do is try to close their stomata, because that holds the water that they have in the plant. The stomata, once that happens, that's going to stop CO2 from going in, but that also keeps water from going out. So it's sort of a short-term method of the plant holding onto water, even though it will slow photosynthesis by slowing CO2 entry. So with that said, we used infrared photography to look at the effect of this marine plant extract on stomatal conductance. Now, if the stomates are opened, that means that water's coming out, and so presumably you could see a cooler image that would be blue due to evaporative transpiration. If the stomates are closed, it should be green or yellow or red. So this is what we were looking for to show differences between these two treatments. The one on your right there is treated with this marine plant extract, and the one on the left is not. So this is the beginning, and you can see they're all blue. There's really no difference. There's good stomatal conductance going on. At day two, though, the plants feel that drought, and look at the one on the right that's treated. You can see that stomatal conductance is reduced because you see a greenish-yellow color. As time goes on and the drought gets worse, look at the control, because you'll see that it absolutely runs out of water and goes all the way to red there and is wilted. And eventually, they both do. Then we rewatered to see which one would actually come back to transpiring and photosynthetically active. Wow. First, look at the one on the right that's treated. You can see some blue, so there is some transpiration going on, so it kind of came back to life quicker. We actually did measure stomatal conductance during this time period to demonstrate that is the mode of action of this marine plant extract. So the green bar there is treated and the gray is not, and this is stomatal conductance. If you look at the beginning of this, when there was no stress, they're similar. There were no statistical differences. Look how quickly, though, the treated closed the stomata and effectively stopped water loss. When you get all the way down here to the bottom, you can't see the differences in the graph, so I blew it up. So you could. There were statistical differences. And there's still a little bit of stomatal conductance going on in the treated as compared to the control, which was all but dead, and there was nothing happening there anymore. So we looked a little bit deeper at what genes this extract might be influencing that could be causing this reaction. So under drought stress or high heat stress, there's some transcription factors that are elicited. One of them would be called the BZIP1 transcription factor or DREB2. We've found that we actually influence both, but the one I want to focus on is the BZIP1. Note that during, during stress, look how much more it was being expressed as compared to the control. So it looks like something's going on there. This BZIP1 is influenced by abscisic acid. Abscisic acid is interesting in its role in stress. For one thing, abscisic acid is what controls the stomatal aperture, so it does play a direct role in opening and closing the stomata. Plants have to control it very finely because these stomata need to be able to close quickly in the event of stress or open quickly because that drives photosynthesis. And if levels get too high, bad things happen, like leaves can fall off, leaves can turn yellow, all kinds of bad things can happen. Here's just another picture here on the right of some pepper plants where we did a similar study where we just grew them up, treated them, and then droughted them. And we saw a very similar result of the untreated wilted far quicker compared to the treated. And again, a lot of that's due to stomatoconductance, and according to our research, it does involve abscisic acid. So remember I said that plants need to be able to control abscisic acid very closely, because when they need it, they need it, and when they don't need it, they need it to go away. And so there are genes that are responsible for creating it and then again breaking it down. This gene right here is responsible for the production of abscisic acid, and this one for converting it to another form that's not active and breaking it down. Well, when we looked at expression of these genes during stress, note how much more this was being expressed in the treated as compared to the control. That wasn't really true before the stress, nor during the recovery period. When you looked at what was going on with this gene responsible for converting abscisic acid to another inactive form, it was more expressed during the recovery period. Now that makes sense. When you think about abscisic acid controlling the stomatal aperture and needing to change what's going on once the plant has got water. All right, so let's get a little more practical out of the genetics world and into the what happens on visible cotton plants. This was a trial that was conducted by one of our scientists, Josie Todd. Note that this was done in Cornwallis, Nova Scotia. That's probably the only cotton trial ever done in Nova Scotia. That's where our company is located because that's where we harvest seaweed. What Josie did was she grew these cotton plants in the greenhouse, and she grew them all the same fertilizer, same everything, with the exception of the ones that she treated with the marine plant extract. She made an application at Pinhead Square, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, so three treatments. And then after the final treatment, she turned off the water and left the water off for 6 weeks, so she inflicted a significant drought. At the same time she turned off the water, she counted how many reproductive structures were on these plants. And then after the 6 weeks of drought, she went back to them and counted them again. She was looking for how many fell off. Here's just a photo of her trial. You can see that cotton actually was not too unhappy in that greenhouse. It grew, a little rangy maybe. All right, so here's her data from prior to the drought. So this was after she'd made three applications of the marine plant extract right before she stopped the water. And you can see there were a couple of more reproductive structures in the treated as compared to the control. Then she had tagged every one of them, see all the little blue tags, so that after the drought she could go back to the same place and see if there's still something there. It was easier for her to identify what fell off. And she found that there was a 35% drop of existing reproductive structures in the control, 31% in the treated. Then she actually counted reproductive structures overall because some more actually formed during that 6 week time period. So she was trying to get a good idea of what was happening overall. And again, she found a couple of more reproductive structures present in the treated as compared to the control. And then she looked at how many were actually bowls, which would have meant maybe they formed earlier before this drought actually was imposed. And there, again, were about three more per plant in the treated compared to the untreated control. So then we took this to the field to see if this, does this still hold true even in a grower's field? The way we did this was, these trials were conducted near Aberdeen, Mississippi. Dr. David Roberts was the contract researcher who did these studies. He set up five trials with five different growers. For statistical purposes, we used each one of these locations as a different replicate. The treatments were the exact same as Josie, except for they only did two applications instead of three. So he did some plant mapping near harvest. He found there were a couple of more nodes to last harvestable bowl. So maybe there was a little improvement in plant just growth and health during that time. He also looked at total nodes per plant and found a few more nodes in the treated compared to the control. He also looked at total bowls per plant. He found actually the exact same thing that Josie did. Three more bowls per plant compared to the control. We tried to see if maybe we could get some extra weight out of that. Maybe we'd get 5 lock bowls instead of 4, but really there was nothing there. And that did result in a nice yield increase of about 114 pounds per acre. So in conclusion, this marine plant extract of Ascophyllum nodosum does work at the genetic level by influencing abscisic acid and the plant's response to produce and break down abscisic acid. This results in improved stress tolerance and less boll drop in cotton. I would point out, too, that the trial that Dr. Roberts did was not this year. This year was really wet. It was the year prior when it actually was not wet at all. It was hot and dry in Mississippi, and this was dry land cotton. Okay, I'll close right there. This is actually a picture of what that marine plant looks like, and I'll answer any questions. No, mine's red. You got me worried. Okay, Mike.
What were the rates that were used in the commercial fields?
40 ounces per acre.
Yes? Three applications have 40 ounces each application.
Each one, that's right. That's right. Yes, ma'am? It has. It's very compatible in tank mixes. It's fine with picks. It's fine with insecticides. The only kinds of fungicides we've seen problems with are something like chlorothalonil that has a weather stick type of sticker in there. And the only nutrients we've seen any trouble with are calcium in an extremely concentrated format. Any other questions? Yes, sir?
Have you looked at the interaction between this and potassium?
Yeah. I love that question. And we have not, although one of our distributors in Arizona has kind of come up with their own mix where they're putting potassium plus this marine plant extract, and they're saying that works far better than just the plant extract alone. And honestly, my opinion on these kinds of biostimulant products is that I think multiples together may be the way to go, because ours is working in a specific way that I pointed out. If you can include some other modes of action, I think that's going to make an even better product. We're kind of just touching the surface of this.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.